working at startups has really given me is that experience of it's not only what I do every day, it's also what I don't do each day that is important for me to assess.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Jill Kite, and I am the VP of Marketing at UpGuard. And I joined UpGuard because I wanted to continue down the path of doing good for people, and security software was the way that I thought we could get there. UpGuard's really all about reducing IT risk and helping IT organizations be loved by others in their organization again. Most of the time, they aren't loved by the rest of their organization.
And when did you first become interested in tech?
You know, a long time ago. I've been in tech for over 25 years, so I've worked at a number of really, really large companies like Adobe Systems and Sun Microsystems from way back when. In fact, started out my career at Hewlett-Packard as a programmer, but realized early on that I really wasn't the coding type and I liked people much more. So I moved after a couple of years in that into support and then sales and marketing and then business development. And I've really kind of found my passion around marketing and finding really representing the voice of the customer and understanding what the customer finds a value about our products and services and solutions. Marketing has evolved in the past 25 years. It used to be 80% art and 20% science. And these days, I really view it as the tables have really turned or flipped. And it's 80% science and 20% art, which is a wonderful place to be because you get to really dig into the data and understand what metrics you're looking at and what's working and what's not working, what's resonating, both from a messaging and a creative and anything else that you're putting out there, and know, you know, whether it makes sense to people and whether they grok it and want more of it. So, you know, it's really about bringing that forward.
And how did you know that was your calling?
You know, I think it's probably just the thing that I love getting up every day and doing what I do, bringing that together. And it's kind of one of the hardest things to do is bringing the story together, positioning and messaging for a company and for their products and solutions. But it's also about crystallizing something down into a few words or a few sentences that helps you capture the hearts and minds of your customers where they say, I have that problem. That would be so cool to solve that problem. And being able to communicate that effectively is, for me, just kind of what gets me up every day is the fun of that and the drive, the passion, the energy that I bring to that.
You've had an extensive career in technology. How has it evolved and developed in the past 25 years for women?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. You know, I mean, when I started out, it was, you know, there was discussion of the glass ceiling. And, you know, there is still a glass ceiling. If we look around and see how few female CEOs there are out there comparatively, and especially if you look at Fortune 100 companies, there's very few. And it's not clear that the numbers are increasing. So we still have a challenge on our hands in being able to allow women to get their voice and find a way to move through the ranks and gain that elevation of position and be able to sit at the table. And, you know, I think the thing that's really important to me is the fact that, you know, I have a daughter myself and I want her to be in a world where there are no limits and the horizons are endless, that she has a view of that. And so it's really important to mentor women and other folks who need that sort of uplifting help. I was lucky. I had a lot of really great mentors, both men and women, who were willing to take a risk on me and give me a chance to try something new. You know, I've just been lucky, I think, but I would also say it's been important for me to succeed, and I've always kind of had that view of, you know, grabbing the brass ring and being able to move up in management and mentor people along the way and give back. So a lot of other people who've helped me, but I also would give myself some credit of just a lot of hard work.
And who were your mentors?
Certainly one of the ones that I've had the joy to work with twice now. There's a woman CEO named Anne Bonaparte, who I most recently worked for, but I worked for about 8 years ago also. And it was so wonderful and so refreshing to have first a female CEO, because there's so few of them around. Secondly, she's focused on startups and done many startups in her career. And third, that she just believes in, you know, being able to mentor and guide people and give them that feedback and give them opportunities to be exposed to things that they might not otherwise. Things like, you know, oh, if you want to learn how finance works, spend some time with our CFO, or, you know, and make that a part of your job to learn that part of the business if you haven't. She always gave me lots of chances and lots of opportunities to do those kinds of things.
How do you overcome challenges?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I always do, and it took me a number of years to kind of figure this out, is just like with anything in life, you break it down into smaller pieces.
Oh, amen.
And, you know, that's to me what it's all about is, you know, if I'm trying to climb that hill, looking up and making sure I know what the destination is, but keeping one foot in front of the other. You know, it was funny. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with my husband about 25 years ago, and we made an agreement that he had to get to the top. I didn't have to. I just wanted the experience. So I made it, you know, 4/5 of the way to the top, well over 19,000 feet. But it was important to give me the latitude that, okay, I've gone up far enough. This isn't fun anymore. I'm going back down. But he needed to have that latitude to reach the top. And I think everybody's got to figure out what's important to them. What were those metrics that, you know, when you think about what your challenges are and how do you sort of assess for you, you know, just being at the top wasn't the important thing for me. Having the experience of being in a new country and climbing an amazing mountain was what it was about.
I love that. I love taking a beat to set boundaries and really recognize your own interests, goals, and achievements. Of what, or like what achievement means to you.
Yeah.
And then to create a framework around that to match that rather than just go by what the classic definition
right.
is.
What like, everybody else says.
Like if your company doesn't go IPO, like right. that's the top because
right.
really mm. what happiness and success mean to you may not be working 1 bazillion hours a day
right.
for an IPO.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time in your career where you recognized you were on a track that you were like, I don't like where I'm heading. This needs to change.
You know, I don't think I was ever felt like I was on a track that I needed to change. It was more along the lines of these weren't companies that felt like they were either supporting me or giving me the opportunity. I felt like I've been really lucky to sort of say, you know, what do I enjoy? What do I want to get up and do every day? But the most important thing around that is who are the people that I want to be around when I'm doing those things? And that's what's changed for me. And so, you know, each time I made a change from one organization to the next, it was really around looking back and saying, what about that didn't work? What about it did work? And go and find the next organization that gave me more of the things that did work as an opportunity.
What were some examples of the life experiences you gained in that time that aided to your success today?
You know, I think there's a number of things. Most importantly, being a mom. I think being a parent overall, you learn a lot about life and managing people, probably more than I did from any management course or training class that I ever took. It's about setting boundaries. It's about establishing goals. It's about giving critical feedback along the way frequently and, you know, candidly. And I would also say that just having, you know, a number of bosses and colleagues over the years that believed in, you know, collaboration as kind of the model for work versus competition, and continuing to want to put myself in and around people who work that way and believe that that was a much more, a more direct path to success than the competitive front. So those are the kinds of things to me that really kind of helped me along the way is gaining that sort of experience and exposure to people like that and wanting to get more of that. And that's, you know, quite honestly, I have to say one of the best parts about being at UpGuard is such a collaborative environment, having executives at the top who really believe that's the way we work. Communication and collaboration is the only way we're going to scale.
What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dream?
Probably the best lesson that I've learned is that it's okay to say no.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things, and this is a woman who's worked for me like 5 different times, and she always reminds me, you know, Jill, one of the things you have to remember is it's okay to say no, because, you know, for all of us, and I think women especially, we like to say, oh, of course, you know, I can
totally.
Do that. And it's not a case of you can or can't do that. It's like, can I do that within the time frame and the resources that I've got? It's not a quality or a judgment of me. It's more around being able to embrace the fact that what is that I can do with the resources and time that I have, and it's okay to say no, and it's not a bad reflection on me. So that's, I continue to have to remind myself about that today. You know, it's like, okay, I don't have to take all the projects on in the world, and I don't have to do them by tomorrow. I just have to methodically make progress towards those things. And, you know, I will tell you, that's probably the other piece that working at startups has really given me, is that experience of it's not only what I do every day, it's also what I don't do each day that is important for me to assess, because those choices are just as critical on the what I do versus what I don't do. So being able to say no is really, really important.
That's really, really cool. And I think really important, especially if you're a giver, like
yes.
many of us women are.
Yes, exactly.
It's an important skill set to develop.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Oh, boy. You know, I think the sky's the limit. I'm not done yet. I have a lot of things that I still want to do. You know, I'm really excited about UpGuard and being able to help contribute to the culture that we have here of, you know, collaboration, enabling people, mentoring people, giving back. I'm a big believer in always hiring summer interns and college students so that they've got something on their resume and, you know, have some real work experience to help help them figure out what they really want to do when they get out of college. I just love that giving back part. It's just a huge part of it for me that sort of gives me a lot of, you know, warm and fuzzies about, you know, it's important to do something right in the world, and helping people and kids especially is a big piece of that.
I love that. And for people who want to get into the tech world, what resource would you recommend?
You know, I think there are so many things available online these days that you can do, and especially around women. You mentioned the one thing that they're doing for kids in schools. There's another one that I just found out about called Hacker Academy that basically takes women who've had jobs and degrees and puts them through a deep intensive, I think it's like a 6-week coding program, and helps them get jobs at the other end. So, you know, I love those kinds of things, right? The giving
That's
back
awesome.
Stuff.
How can people stay in touch with you?
Jill.Kite@UpGuard.com or via LinkedIn.
Perfect. And that was painless, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the Women in Tech Show.
Love
high
it.
Five. I'm all about
awesome.
The high five.
There you go.
Awesome.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.